Colossians, we left off here last time, Colossians 1 and 22. I believe this is a key to a lot of people's difficulties, really. It says, "And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable," Colossians 1:22, "if so be that you continue in the faith." In other words, the process of reconciliation, the process of exchange, katalasso, exchange, trading Christ's life for my life on the cross, you see. He took me, nailed my old man there, and he gave me his life, you know. But the process of exchange will be completed, according to verse 22, "if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Hey, and what is the gospel? You know, we were studying that last Saturday. What was the gospel? The gospel is the good news that it's been accomplished. Whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance from sin, the Bible says it has been accomplished. You know, the devil, if he can put fear, if he can put condemnation in you, it's because you do not believe and you are not confessing that it is accomplished. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible says in Romans 10 and 10, that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And now we've been looking at what salvation means. It means deliverance from that, right there? It means deliverance from that, right? You see? It means deliverance from whatever problem we got that's contrary to us and life and nature and whatever, you know? But he says confession is made unto salvation. You know that you can have faith and not have works. In other words, you can believe and understand something in your heart, but not put it into action. And faith is not made perfect. James chapter 2 says, "A man says he has faith, but he has not works. Can that faith save him?" No. Because faith apart from works is dead. It's useless. He said, "I'll show you a man that's got faith by his works." "By my faith I'll show it. By my works I'll show you my faith." You see? In other words, some people believe, they understand in their heart that they're supposed to accept their deliverance, like we were talking about last time. It's too many people looking in the wrong direction. They're looking down the road instead of looking back at Calvary, you know. That's the biggest problem, is they don't understand the gospel. The gospel is looking back. It's not looking down the road, because tomorrow never comes. It never comes. You keep looking for salvation and it never appears, because you're looking in the wrong direction. You look back and you accept it as an accomplished fact. And that, of course, excludes your works. You just accept it. It's a free gift, he calls it. Free gift of righteousness, you know. And so faith without works is dead. Your actions ought to agree with the gospel that you understand. Right? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But that didn't give the salvation, did it? But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And I agree that the mouth is just one kind of work. But it is the most common scriptural work that accompanies any salvation. The most common, by far, of any work in the scriptures that accompanies salvation.
And James says it's pretty important, too.
It's very important. It's very important. As a matter of fact, you can think and believe one thing, but keep on letting your tongue talk according to your natural man, according to your carnal man, and you won't get what you know in your heart you're supposed to have. It's a real common problem. It's why we really need to be reminded very often to change, watch your tongue, change your confession. You know, in watching your tongue, you're doing two things. Number one, you're changing your heart, because you can't help but correct your heart when you watch your tongue. You see what I'm talking about? I think that's one of the reasons God designed it this way. Number two, when you speak what the Bible commands you to speak, you put faith in all the people around you. You're a river of living water. When you speak, you know, the tongue of the righteous is as a tree of life, you know. The living waters came under that tree of life, you know. And we bring life to people around us. We correct ourselves. we turn about the body. Look at in James chapter 1. In verse 22. Faith without works is dead. You can get a deliverance. You can get a healing. You can get a blessing from God and turn around and lose it a week later because you're speaking against God or acting against your salvation. Your works have to agree with your salvation. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. He beholds himself and goeth away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's what we want, right? We want liberty, right? And so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh. This man shall be blessed in his doing. Now, look what he's saying in the same text. Many people don't put this into the text, but watch. He says, if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is in vain. In other words, yeah, you can believe a lot of things, but it won't do you any good if you don't bridle your tongue. It'll take it away from you. And I can prove that to you. I want to prove that to you, first of all. But your tongue has the ability to turn your body around. The problem with us is, naturally speaking, we've been used to going in one direction. And here comes the gospel telling us to go in the other direction, which is the word repentance. That's what repentance means, right? Change your mind, turn and go the other way, right? Okay? What is going to turn you around? You know? Well, for one thing, look in James chapter 3, in verse 2. It says, for in many things we all stumble. If any man stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. Okay? Now, if we put horses' bridles into their mouths, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Behold the ships, though they are so great, and are driven by rough winds. I mean, that's life, right? That's like life. I mean, you might be driven by rough winds. You know, so contrary to the direction you want to go that you're being blown in the other direction, right? Okay? Are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. So the tongue also is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity among our members is the tongue. It defiles the whole body. It defiles the whole body. The tongue defiles the whole body. And sets on fire the wheel of nature or the cycle of life, and is set on fire by hell. In other words, if your tongue is connected to your flesh, it's on fire by hell. It's going to ruin a lot of things that you would not want done. But if you've got a bridle on your tongue, you can turn about the whole body. What's our whole problem? We haven't got a problem except for that. Stopping our body from going in the direction we don't want it to go and making it serve God. You don't have any problem with your spirit serving God. Your spirit serves God. It's that body, getting that body to do what it's supposed to do. And he's saying here, hey, bridle the tongue, you can turn the body. Even though it's a very small member, it can turn the whole great big ship. Bridle the tongue, you can turn the body. The problem is, we know in our heart what we're supposed to believe, but we're not diligent many times to bridle the tongue. Think about what God did when he started the church. We were talking about a few minutes ago. When he started the church, the first thing he did for people like Peter, you know, when Peter said, tried to convince Jesus not to go to the cross. He said, get behind me, Satan. Self-willed Peter, right? Well, Peter that chickened out when he went to the garden, you know, and denied the Lord three times. There's just fears that drove him. His body was going in one direction, and he couldn't help it. He didn't want to do what he was doing. What did God do for those people? This guy had been serving the Lord, walking with the Lord, I say, for 3 years or 3.5 years, and still he was a failure. The first thing the Lord did for those people who were his disciples was to change their tongue. Didn't he? In Acts chapter 2, when tongues of fire came upon their heads and their tongue was changed, the first thing he did. Why? I mean, when they spoke in tongues, it says in Acts chapter 2 that they were proclaiming in the tongue of the Jews that had come about from the nations round about, it proclaimed in their tongue the mighty acts of God. The mighty acts of God. Hey, that's the gospel. The mighty acts of God. What God has done for us is the gospel. That's the good news, you see. The tongue, if will confess it, even if your natural mouth won't confess it. The tongue will confess it. And he's saying it turned about the whole body. What happened to Peter? You know, you say, well, that was just because he had the Holy Spirit. Well, that's true. He had the Holy Spirit. But what did the Holy Spirit, what is the first work the Holy Spirit did? You know, is to change that tongue. And Peter stood up, converted, you know, very boldly, stood up in front of all these people and converted 3,000 people. There's something about being able to confess the mighty acts of God, the gospel, with your mouth. Because it's not just faith anymore. It's not just believing unto righteousness. It's confession unto salvation. It's the ability to change and cause you to walk in a direction that you're supposed to be walking. The Bible says, for instance, look in Ephesians 4. In verse 29. I can remember the time in my life when the Lord first taught me that I needed to change my tongue. And the diligence that the Lord gave me when I prayed to Him to help me to watch my tongue and start conforming it to what the Scripture says. What the Scripture said about me, what the Scripture said about the circumstances around me, you know, that I should be confessing the salvation of God in my circumstances, in my life, in the people around me. And I was diligent to the point of being obnoxious. Ask Mary, you know, because I was always correcting her. No, don't say that, you know. Say this, you know. This which, and, you know, even though I was zealous and I was, what I was doing was right. What I was doing was trying to change her tongue, trying to change my tongue, you know. And that's what we ought to do. We too often talk things that won't edify. It says here, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying. And of course, edifying is the word, the Greek word just means to build up the need, right?
What chapter?
Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good to build up the need, that it may give grace to them that hear. In other words, what we say should build up the need, whatever the need. You know, what is soteria? It's all your needs supplied, right, Pete? Right? That's what the Greek man told us the other day, you know. All your needs supplied. So, what we speak is to fulfill salvation, to build up the need, right? And to give grace, because salvation comes through grace. Whatever, you know, many times we want to tear down. And you know how we do that? All you got to do is talk naturally instead of spiritually. All you got to do is let your tongue run away with your natural man, with the flesh, you know, and you're going to tear down. Because you're confessing the things that are instead of the things that are not. You have to call the things that be not as though they were. That's what faith does, you see. And if you're just confessing the things that are, you're tearing down. You're not bringing salvation. You're bringing destruction. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. And so, you know, anything, that's one good thing to look at in anything we say, is what I'm saying bringing grace? Is it building up? Is it saving? You know, or am I just talking naturally and sticking with the status quo? You know, and you can't get out of a situation if you keep on proclaiming the situation, you know. Look at Matthew 12.
Back up again, Dave.
Okay.
What did you just say again? You can't get out of the situation.
If you just proclaim the situation, the same, you know. If you just proclaim, if you just confess things as they are,
you're
not calling the things that be not as though they were. You're not reaching for anything higher. You see, you're just staying where you are, you know.
Oh, the Lord will heal me in His own time.
Yeah, or going to get prayed for, Pete, and then walking away from there still proclaiming your sickness instead of proclaiming your health. Because the Bible says, by His stripes you were healed. You see, that's calling the things that be not as though they were. That is causing your mouth to agree with what the Scripture says. That's scriptural.
Ailments of the day.
See, you know, some people don't understand how they can go and get a miraculous healing, walk away from there, and as soon as a little bit of a symptom comes back, they accept it. They speak contrary to the Word. They don't proclaim their health. They proclaim their sickness. And so it's right back on them. It doesn't matter whether it delivers from any kind of salvation. It's the same way. You can lose any of it. You can backslide. You can lose any of it if you don't proclaim what the Scripture says in the situation. Because with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And what's the heart supposed to believe? The gospel, that you've been set free. Okay?
Amen.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. And what are you to confess? The same thing, the gospel, that you've been set free. There you got faith, and there you got works. And the two are made perfect, the Bible says. Without works, faith is not made perfect. Or what? Complete. The same word, complete. You see? So, look in Matthew 12.
It's right what you're saying about also being careful what you say if it's not edifying, and it, you can undo by one small thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a guy on Kairos, he'd given a fantastic talk, and all the prisoners, you know, I mean, they just were inspired by it, you know. But this guy was also taking a break in the hallway and was talking to another team member, was using profanity, not a lot, but enough that this prisoner overheard him. And what he'd done in, you know, 30 minutes of a talk, he'd lost in a few seconds worth of...
Well, it's the same way with confessing the things that are instead of the things that are not. You can destroy what you've done, because God's going to listen to what you said. And He said He's going to give to you according to what you speak in His ear. The Bible says that, Numbers 14. Look right here in verse 33, Matthew 12 and 33. Now, remember in the text, He's talking about speaking against the Holy Spirit. And a kingdom divided against itself won't stand, Jesus said, right? You know, many times Christians in themselves are kingdoms divided against themselves, aren't they? You know, yeah. If you're gonna walk half in the spirit and half in the flesh, you're a kingdom divided, and you're what the Bible calls lukewarm. What's gonna happen to lukewarm? That's a kingdom that's gonna fall, isn't it? You see, individually we can be a divided kingdom. Individually we can speak against the spirit, or we can speak against the flesh. Right? In verse 33, now look at this. This is a curious statement. It says, "Either make the tree good." Now, this is Jesus talking to these people, okay? He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. Hey, now, wait a minute. Who's He putting the responsibility on here? I mean, I thought this was God, you know? God, I mean, is He saying God made a mistake, or these people are making a mistake, right? He's telling them, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. Well, the tree is known by its fruit. What? How can you put the responsibility upon them? Well, for one thing, in stay right there, but in Matthew 15 and 18, it says, the things that proceed forth out of the mouth come out of the heart, they defile the man. In other words, you have the ability to corrupt yourself or to make yourself pure. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, and verse 7 and 8, it says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. If you sow to yourself, to your flesh, You will of the flesh reap corruption, but if you sow to your spirit, you will of the spirit reap eternal life. In other words, you have the ability to sow seed to your spirit, or you have the ability to sow seed to your flesh. Who is going to make this vessel a righteous or an unrighteous vessel? We are. God's given us that responsibility. He's given us the power already. I mean, the power is there. If it's done, it's going to be of God. The power is available. And the power comes through grace. And that's through faith, right? And faith without works is dead. So you exercise your faith through works, and you receive the power, which is already done. It's of God. And you overcome in the situation. But he's telling them, either make the tree good or make it bad. In other words, hey, get off the fence, you know. This is our problem. Out of the same mouth can come sweet water or bitter water, according to what James said. Mm-hmm. And this ought not be, you see. What we should be proclaiming as Christians is the gospel of the kingdom, not what we see in the world. That won't change a thing. That's natural. You know, the world loves it when you talk that way. And you're acceptable when you talk that way. But when you talk according to the kingdom, you're very unacceptable, and the world don't like it. You know, you're very unpopular if you speak according to the kingdom. If you speak according to the gospel, people are going to think you're crazy, as a matter of fact, you know. But we're supposed to look crazy. You chose the weak and the foolish, right?
Time in history, they killed you when you spoke according to the gospel.
That's right.
Burnt you to the stake and threw you over cliffs and tortured you slow deaths.
Verse 34 says, "You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of his good treasure, notice, brings forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." You know, the same man can do both of those? Yeah. Think about it. The same man can do both of that, because you've got... But look, he's saying, the good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things. How does he do that? He does it with his mouth. And how does the evil man out of his evil treasure bring forth evil things? He does it out of his mouth. Okay? Watch. It says, "And I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. What's an idle word? It's a word that has no power. It is a word that gives no grace. It is a word that doesn't do anything. It don't change anything. It's a worthless word. Okay? And idle words will bring you into judgment. Why? Because they're not delivering you from judgment, right? The next verse says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified." What's justified? It means accounted as righteous. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, okay? So words justify you. And the next half of the verse says, "For by thy words thou shalt be condemned." What is that? That's judged guilty, the exact opposite. See? Your words are going to either judge you guiltless or guilty. Your words are. God's looking at your words. You can pray till you're blue in the face and turn around and destroy every bit of it with your words because you're guilty. Or you can pray and let your words agree with your prayers, and God will call you righteous, and He will be pleased with you, and He will fulfill your prayer. I want to go on to prove that, because many people destroy with their own words what they pray for and what they're believing for in the gospel, you see. Okay? First of all, he says, "They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." You know, you think about the day of judgment as that day over yonder in the next life. But if you read the scriptures, you'll find out a day of judgment came upon everybody who spoke wrong. Okay? Go back to, look, hold your finger there and look in Numbers 14, just a minute. In verse 28. "A day of judgment will come upon you if you don't confess the gospel, because you're not accounted as righteous." And you're condemned. We just read that. You're condemned. I mean, what delivers you from the condemnation? Faith plus works. We said it, right? It says, not your works, of course. I mean, let me see what some good Baptists objecting to that. You know, not your works, but the works of God through you. All right? Verse 28, it says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, surely as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Hey, what happened? Well, they spoke in his ears that that he brought them out into that wilderness just to die in the wilderness. You know, why did they say that? I'll tell you why they said it. They sent the 12 spies into the promised land. And when they came out, 10 of those spies brought what God called an evil report. He called it an evil report. What did they say? Well, first of all, they said what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. That's the mistake. Because that wasn't what Joshua and Caleb said. Joshua and Caleb had their faith founded on what the Word of God was, what God said, not what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. You see what I'm talking about? If you speak according to what you see, what you hear, and what you feel, you're not going to change anything. You're not calling things to be not as though they were. Joshua and Caleb had faith. He said their defense is removed from over them. God has given us the victory, you know. They knew that the victory was given because God had said so, you see. If you speak according to what you see, you hear, and you feel, God's going to give you what you say to Him. He said, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do unto you. Hey, that can be positive or that can be negative, can it? Think about it. It can be positive or negative. Right? That's right. Are you going to speak the positive things of the gospel, or are you going to speak the negative things and the doubt and the fear and all those false gods? Because that's what they are. They're false gods. You know? Fear, doubt, unbelief, anxiety, what you lack. Hey, we don't lack nothing. Have you ever noticed what the gospel is all about? We've been set free from the curse. We have soteria, all your needs supplied, right? Okay? We don't lack anything. If you're going to keep confessing what you lack, what you doubt, what you fear, I mean, you're going to get what you've been confessing because your works are contrary, your words are contrary to the gospel. Okay? Go back over there in Matthew 12 again. So he said, you'll give account in the day of judgment. When's the day of judgment? The day when you get punished for your sins. It's not necessarily talking about the day in the next life. Continually the people of God come into judgments because of the way they think and act. Okay? I mean, read the book. I mean, it's so clear, you see. As a matter of fact, he said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Keep your finger there and look in John chapter 3 for a minute. About this coming into judgment. Verse 17. Now think about this. I know that we're used to thinking about this in one certain vein, but I want you to think about it in this vein. Okay? God, John chapter 3, verse 17. God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. He that believeth on Him is not judged. Is. Notice it doesn't say won't be. It says is not judged. Okay? He that believeth not hath been judged already. You know why? Because the curse has already been put upon mankind. And the only way out from under it is to be believing in Jesus Christ. You understand? Okay? So this judgment is already upon us. And the only way out from under it is to confess unto salvation. Okay? It says, hath been judged already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The name is the nature, right? The character, the authority, right? And this is the judgment, that the light is coming to the world And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. You know how you can prove whether you love darkness more than light? Watch what you say. I mean, if you're going to confess the darkness all the time, if you're going to confess your bondage under the curse, your bondage to sin, you're obviously not confessing the gospel. That's the light. Okay? And you're obviously going to be under the judgment, because only being in the light delivers you from the judgment. And only believing delivers you from the judgment. You've been judged already if you don't believe. See? So, I mean, a lot of times we can, with our mind, understand the gospel. Yep, that's true. We need to believe that it's already done. We thank you, Jesus, it's already done. But the rest of your life, the rest of your day, you may walk around this world going into your daily trials and confessing things according to what you see in your daily trials, instead of continuing to confess the gospel in the midst of tribulation. What was the problem with the children of Israel when they went out into the wilderness, right? When they got into tribulation, they confessed the problem. They didn't confess the remedy. You understand? They confessed the problem. They didn't confess the remedy. Continuously. And so what happened? God was angry with them because he called it murmuring. He was angry with them continuously because they always confessed the problem. They would never confess the remedy, which is what? The Word. See? And so, hey, if you don't believe, you're under that judgment already. It's not a judgment day coming down the road. The day of judgment is the day when the judgment comes upon you because you're guilty. That's any time that you're getting a whipping, you know? Okay? Well, look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 2. In our speech, we need to learn to correct our speech. You know, we need to learn, and in so doing, we're going to correct our heart. But you got to watch what you say. You have to agree with the gospel. Romans 3, in verse 3, it says, "For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? Be it not so," it says in the original. "Yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy words." Hey, if you want to be justified in your words, let God be true and every man a liar. That means everything that the natural man would say, reject it. And everything that the spiritual man would say, speak it. Right? If you want to be justified, that means accounted righteous. If you want to be accounted righteous in your words, speak what your spirit man would say. You know what your spirit man would say? He'd say what the Word says. That's Jesus, right?
You've been healed.
You've been healed. You've been delivered. You've been delivered from the curse. You've been made free from sin. All the gospel, you know, in every circumstance that you get into, believe the gospel and confess the gospel. And mightest prevail when thou what? Comest into judgment. If you want to prevail when you come into judgment, make sure that your mouth is agreeing with God and is disagreeing with your natural man. That's how every man can be a liar, but God can be true. And that's how you're going to be justified. And that's how he will say that you are, like we read back over in Matthew 12, by your words you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. Right? Hey, if you want to go through the judgment, if you want to go ahead and take the whipping of the curse, well then just speak what you see, what you hear, and what you feel. That's all you need. You're going to go through the judgment. If you want to get out of the judgment, don't speak what you see, hear, and feel. Speak what the Word says, which calls those things that be not as though they were. Hey, I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm healthy. I've got the life of Jesus, you know. I'm a new creation, you know. So on and so forth.
Doubting mankind says seeing is believing, but God says believing is seeing.
Really?
You know, we as earthlings want to see it first, then we'll believe it.
Prove it.
Yeah, prove it. from Missouri, show me, you know. But God says, no, you don't believe it before you see it.
Yeah. We need to start taking the words seriously. I mean, your words defile your whole body and your whole life, you know, and sets on fire the cycle of life. Life is a cycle, you know that? Because what you say, the Bible says you're going to get. And what you get, you're going to say. You see that? You go out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you get, you're going to say. And then what you say defiles your body, so you're speaking out of a defiled nature. You know, it just circles round and round and round. The only way to break it, hey, call the things that be not as though they were. You break the cycle. See?
You know, the New Testament is only about 200 pages, and the Old Testament is over 1,000 pages. And that's 1,000 pages of what happens when you don't, compared to 200 pages of how it could be, how it should be, how it is.
Yeah.
And if you ever doubt, well, I don't know about that, just you got 1,000 pages back there, people that didn't do it right, you know?
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. Different age groups, tribes, wildernesses, everything. From poor people to rich, you know, King Solomon, who had everything. And, you know, so...
And you can find the gospel preached very well in the Old Covenant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very few people understood it, but it's preached very well over there. I mean, everything you need to know is really over there. Looking in Galatians 6, I quoted this a few minutes ago. I thought we would look at it for a second. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. It's easy to be deceived. It's easy to be forgetful if you're halfway between the natural mind and the spiritual mind, you know. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What is it to mock God? It's to proclaim you believe one thing and speak another one. I can tell you that. The word mock just means to treat with contempt, you know. Which is what the Israelites did. They treated with contempt the word of God. They ignored the word. And instead, they spoke what they saw, felt, and so on. You know? God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What sowing, for instance, what is a seed in the Scriptures? In Matthew 13, he gave two parables there, the parable of the sower, the parable of the tares and the wheat. Right? In both cases, what was the seed?
The word
of God. Now you can sow other things besides the word. You can give. That's sowing, right? I mean, we see that from Corinthians. Giving is sowing. Works basically is what you sow. Your works, okay? The major work in the Scriptures, by the way, that's mentioned more than any other, is speaking. And it's, and everywhere the Scripture talks about salvation, you're going to find speaking there. Because with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we sow a seed when we speak. Yeah. And you can sow life, like Jesus said, the words that I speak are life, or you can sow death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we're either sowing life and death into our own life and into those lives around us, okay? And it goes on, for he that soweth unto his flesh... That's just somebody that speaks after the flesh. I'm talking about in the area of speaking, okay? I'm not talking about in the area of giving or other places. But in the area of speaking, when you sow a seed that comes out of your fleshly mind, you're sowing to your flesh, okay? And he says, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. If the tongue will turn the body around and take the corruption away from the body, like James said, it'll do the same thing in bringing that corruption. By speaking the natural mind instead of the spiritual mind. Hey, when you speak from your spirit and you speak in agreement with the Word of God, that's the Word of God. You know that? You may not be quoting the Word of God, but it's just as powerful as any Word of God when you speak out of your spirit and in agreement with the Word of God. And he goes on to say, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. Again, I'm talking about sowing the Word of God. We were taught by Jesus, like in Mark 11, to sow this seed. Look in Mark 11 and in verse 23. First in verse 22, he actually says in the original, he says, "Have God's faith." You know, have God's faith. "For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what he saith, cometh to pass, he shall have it."
Mine says have faith in God. That's kind of different than God's faith, you know.
Right.
That's quite a difference.
I think that the numeric says have God's faith. And I looked it up one time even before I had the numeric, and it said the same thing.
Nope.
Have God's faith. It's not man's faith in God. It's God's faith in man that gets the job done. We'll get mixed up on that. We think it's man's faith in God. It's not. It's His faith in us. Hey, we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Where does the faith come from? It's God. It's God's faith in man. All right, and it's His gift. Okay, and if He's pleased with you, He will give you that gift. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God's not pleased. And one reason He's not pleased is because of what we say. You know, sometimes we don't agree with Him. What was the problem in the very beginning? Man fell out of agreement with God. God has designed this thing to bring us back into agreement with Him. He's telling you to say what's right, even if your heart is stumbling. He tells you to speak what is right. If you speak what is right, you begin to correct your heart. I know, I experienced it when I first discovered this years ago, and I was being so diligent to watch my tongue and watch Mary's tongue. We'd watch each other's tongue, you know. Boy, it'll correct your heart. You start watching your tongue and what you say and say what's right, it'll correct your heart. And you're sowing a seed in there that'll bring forth fruit. You say, well, you shouldn't really say it if you're not really believing it. No, that's not true. You should say it because the Bible tells you to say it.
But you still have to believe what you're saying, though, right?
Oh, yeah. And if you say it, you will believe it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't believe it. You're
going to... It comes from the heart, as long as it's not lip service.
Well, I'm telling you, is you can change your heart. If your tongue will turn about the whole body, then it's got to change your heart. Your tongue will change your heart. That don't sound natural, because it's not natural, it's supernatural. You know, when you agree with God.
It's like I had difficulty thanking the Lord in every situation, but I would say thank you through my teeth, and now I can say without, you know, in every situation I can say thank you, Lord. You know, where before it was, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, because He, you know, thank you.
I did that when I kicked my refrigerator one time barefoot and actually moved it. And I was seeing stars, but I immediately started praising. I mean, I moved the refrigerator, I kicked it so hard with my foot. And the refrigerators are heavy. But instantly the pain went away. I just knew I was going to die. So I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Get up and get that drink water in the middle of the night. Just seeing stars still, but the pain went away, you know. And I didn't look the next morning either. I was afraid to look, you know. That's doubt. So we're all about work.
Well, God's faith is to say to the mountain. You know, we leave that part off quite often. We want to believe in our heart, but we don't want to confess unto the salvation. We need to speak to the mountain. You know, whatever the circumstance is, it don't make any difference. If it's something that's contrary to the gospel, if it's something that's contrary to the good news, we need to speak to the mountain. It sounds goofy and it looks goofy, you know, but it works. Look in John chapter 8, I think it is. Let me see. Now, John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 8. Here's an example. Jesus continually spoke to things. It didn't even matter if it was inanimate objects. You know that? He spoke to things. It didn't matter if it was a demon, if it was a dead man, if it was a tree, if it was a storm. He spoke to it. He didn't pray about it. He spoke to it, you know. Because we have creative power in our words. The words that come out of our spirit, they all have creative power. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, they are spirit and they are life. They came out of His Spirit from the Father, okay? It says, Jesus saith unto him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. That was creative power in what he said. He spoke to the man. He spoke to the storm. He spoke to the demon. He spoke to the dead man. He spoke to the situation. Always he spoke to the situation. And, you know, he was just following the example of his father. Look in verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. The Son can do nothing of himself. For whatsoever he seeth the Father doing, for what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. He was just copying his father. That's all he was doing. Who's our father? I'll tell you who our spiritual father is. I mean, we have the Father God, right? But about Isaiah 9:6 calls Jesus our spiritual father. Father of eternity. Why? Because he's the sower. He sowed the seed, which was the word that brought us to life, right? His father and our father is a father. I agree. But he's a spiritual father. Like Paul said, you have not many fathers. I begat you through the gospel. Paul was calling himself a father, you see. A spiritual father. Okay? Jesus is our spiritual father. And what he wants us to do is the same thing that he did with his father. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Okay? We can say the same thing, verse 19, but we say it about Jesus. Okay? As he showed me how to do it, I'm going to do it. Okay? Jesus showed us how to do it. You say, yeah, Dave, but he was the Son of God. Hey, Jesus didn't do that because he was the Son of God. Haven't you ever read? Look in verse...
Adopted sons?
Children.
Verse 27.
Children?
He gave him authority to execute judgment because he is a son of man. Not because he's the Son of God, because he's the Son of Man. Made flesh. You humble yourself to the Word, you'll be the Word made flesh. You know? So, I mean, that's what it's all about, is for the Word to become flesh in us. But look, Jesus did all this as a Son of Man, as somebody who was filled with the Holy Spirit, following his Father, doing what he saw his Father do. Okay, that's us. We get filled with the Holy Spirit, we follow our Father, we do what we see him do. Okay? And he said, all he said is, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That's all he said was necessary. You believe on him, do it the way he did it. What did he do? He spoke to every situation. And not only that, he honored other people who spoke to those situations. And I believe it's in Mark chapter 7. He said to that, let's see, Mark. He showed his approval as the Son of God to other people. Mark 7 and 29. This is the Syrophoenician woman who wasn't even, according to their covenant, a child of God. He called her a dog. This woman that was a dog came up there and spoke words of faith, and he said to this woman that was a dog, he said, for this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. For this saying. Notice that. For this saying. Because she said this. The demon is gone out of thy daughter. That's verse 29. Mark 7, 29.
That's the same parable that Jesus said, I've never seen this faith in all of Israel.
Uh-huh.
She spoke it.
Yeah. Yeah. She spoke her faith. I mean, this is what moved. I mean, what did the centurion say? Hey, I mean, this Jesus marveled at this. This is what awes Jesus. I mean, he marveled at their faith because of what they said. I mean, if it moved Jesus, it moves God. Okay? Centurion said, no need for you to come under my roof, Lord. You just say the word, my servant will be healed. And that was a word of faith, wasn't it? And Jesus was amazed at his faith, wasn't he? This was a centurion. Again, it wasn't even a Jew, you know?
Roman.
You just say the word, Lord. That's all you got to do. Hey, I got authority, and you got authority. And when I say my servant do this and do that, he does it. And all you got to do is say the word. You know, he knew Jesus had authority, right?
Each one of the healings that Jesus did was totally different, you know?
Mm-hmm. One thing common about them is he spoke them into existence. Mm-hmm. Many times we want to believe, but we don't want to speak into existence the salvation that we need and the people around us that need. You know, it's if you don't believe, you're certainly not going to step out on a limb and say something that sounds stupid, are you? But if you believe, it's going to be manifested in what you say. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. They work together. They bring about the salvation. Look at Proverbs chapter 4.
Now that's neat the way in Genesis God spoke the world into existence.
Yeah, in Hebrews 11, 3.
Is that right there?
That's right. And the things were made. He said the things were made out of things that do not appear. In other words, he had to speak. He had to call the things that be not as though they were. In other words, this is having God's faith. When you say something and it don't look like that, it doesn't appear. When you say be healed and there's no, you don't see any health there. When you say I'm healed and everybody looks at you and you look sick, that's calling the things to be not as though they were. That's God's faith. When he called the world into existence, he didn't use something to make it. Faith is the substance, he says, of the thing hoped for. While there's no evidence. While there's no evidence. In other words, we're going to look stupid. Saying things, but not for very long. You know, Jesus didn't look stupid for very long, did he, when he said, stretch forth your hand. But something happened. Why? Because he spoke by faith, something happened.
With right? His hand straightened up, didn't
he? Right. Flesh had to obey him, right? It didn't matter whether it was his flesh or somebody else's, it had to obey him.
Then they were going to kill him because it was on the Sabbath.
Isn't that Proverbs 4 and 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Life and health, the word of God is life and health. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Where does life come from? Out of your heart, he says. Out of it are the issues. It's where life issues from. It comes out of your heart? Yeah. Let me hold your finger right there. I'm just going to quote this verse about the time.
What was that number again?
4:20-22.
Okay.
This is Philemon verse 6. It says that the fellowship of thy faith may become effectual in the knowledge of every good thing which is in you. Did you know that every good thing is in you? That seed that God sowed in you is Christ. It's just a little seed, that's all. But it's in there. Okay? So where does life come from? Life proceeds forth out of your heart. The life that you need in the rest of your life, so to speak, comes forth out of your heart. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, the place where life comes from, the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth. This is the key to it, right here. Put away from thee a wayward mouth. That's a mouth, that's just the normal mouth, right? A wayward mouth is just talking according to the natural man. That's all a wayward mouth is. Because it's not calling the things that be not, it's calling the things that be as though they were. You see? It's not talking according to faith, it's walking according to sight. A wayward mouth is walking and speaking according to sight, according to feeling, according to the way things are. A faithful mouth is one that speaks according to the Word of God. Okay? Put away from thee a wayward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. This is what we need to be diligent to do. We need to be diligent to do this. And the Scripture speaks it over and over and over. Look at chapter 10.
Proverbs still?
Yeah, Proverbs still. Chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the righteous bringeth forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue shall be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Okay, it's important to know what's acceptable. That's why we're studying the Scriptures, to know what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh perverseness. Okay? Look at chapter 16, and verse 23. I'm just going to give you a few of them. It says, the heart of the wise instructs his mouth, and adds learning to his lips. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth. Do you spend much time instructing your mouth? Correcting it? Keeping a watch over it? It's important. It's very important. 15 and 28 is the page before it. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You say, evil things? That's just the natural. It's natural to speak things contrary to God. It was natural for those people to give an evil report, God called it. An evil report. And all they did was say what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. And he called it an evil report because they didn't say what he said. Joshua and Caleb said what he said.
What was that verse?
15 and 28. Thank you. Okay? So, when you say evil, all you're talking about is carnal, fleshly, natural. That's evil. What you would say normally, naturally, you know, instead of calling things that be not as though they were, you call things that are as though they were. You get into a situation and you begin to confess what the situation is. Okay? 13 and 3. Look at 13 and 3. 13 and 3 says, he that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life. Hey, he's talking about you, you know. He that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Shall have destruction.
Look at 12:13.
In the right, in the transgression of the lips is a snare to the evil man, but the righteous shall come out of trouble. That's right. Or 21 and 23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Well, look, you can read Proverbs on your own time and you'll find dozens of places where he's talking about the tongue of the wicked and the tongue of the righteous. And I'll tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find that the tongue of the righteous is salvation. The Bible professes that the tongue of the righteous is a fountain of life. Okay? It's deliverance. It's health. It's preservation. Everything in the book of Proverbs only.
Sweet as the honeycomb.
Everything that pertains to salvation, the tongue of the righteous brings it. Everything that pertains to salvation. What is that? All your needs being supplied, right? Okay? The tongue of the righteous brings it. Okay? The tongue of the wicked is just the opposite. Everything that involves the curse, you're going to get it if you speak with the tongue of the wicked. You're going to get it. Okay?
Also, the Lord can put hot coals on your mouth to purify it too.
Right. He'll keep a watch over your tongue. Pray for him to do that. Because he'll sure enable you to watch what you say and subject it to the gospel. You know? It's important to slow down in order for you to be able to obey these verses that we just read. You have to slow down and think about what you're going to say. You know, you have to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Or else, you're going to be too impulsive to stop before it's too late. You said, You've just pronounced yourself sick and getting sicker instead of pronouncing yourself healthy, you know, and delivered and sinless and whatever, you know. You've been delivered from sin, you know. Look at Joshua chapter 1. The tongue is going to turn the body around. That's what James said. And it's true. The tongue will give you power from God. It's pleasing to God. You know, even if you've got a doubt in your heart, you know. Hey, look. When the Bible says believe and not doubt in your heart, how many times have you believed and confessed and seen a miracle and yet you felt doubt and you saw the miracle? You know what he means when he says not doubt in your heart? Look, your flesh is going to doubt all the time. It doubts all the time. You step out on a limb for God and you speak for God, that flesh is always going to doubt. You don't have to accept it in your heart. Your soul is making a decision as to who is it going to listen to. Is your soul going to listen to and speak the words of the flesh, or is it going to listen to and speak the words of the Spirit? That flesh is always over there talking contrary to God. But your heart doesn't have to accept that. You see? When he says, not doubt in your heart, you'll receive whatever you say, it doesn't mean your flesh won't be nagging you, you know, saying the very opposite and doubting. It means your soul is not accepting it.
Just make sure you overcome.
Make sure your soul is not accepting the words of the flesh and the devil. Accept the words of the Spirit, you know? And don't let the devil rob you by putting these doubts in your flesh and saying, see, you doubted, so you can't have it, you know? It's not true. It's not true. I've seen the mighty, really mighty miracles, and all the time my flesh was saying contrary to God, you know? And the devil was using it. The devil was using it. But I wasn't listening to him. I wasn't accepting it, you know? If you don't accept it, it don't matter. I mean, what's the old saying about a bird flying over? You know? Just don't let him nest in your hair, you know? In Joshua 1 and verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Look at that. That thou mayest observe to do. Hey, the mouth is turning the body around. You see that? What's going to give you power to do? Well, he says, don't let the word depart out of your mouth, and meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then what? Then when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. When you meditate on it, you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, then you'll be able to do it. That's the mouth turning about the body. Okay? Here's another one. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And verse... let's start in verse 7. Deuteronomy 30 and 7. The Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, that persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in all the work of thy hands, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it's not too hard for thee, neither is it far off. You know, wherever you've got the problem in your life, the thought is, the word's too hard. I'm not able to obey it. Right? God says it's not too hard. And He's going to give you the key. The key is, it's not too hard, and neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven to bring it unto us and to make us hear it? Hey, look. Everybody that's looking for deliverance from whatever their problem is, they're looking for a place to go to get it. Where can I go to get this deliverance? A man spoke this to me just the other day. Where can I go to get deliverance? And I quoted this verse to him. You don't have to go far to get it. It's not up to heaven to get it. You don't have to bring it down from heaven. It says that we may do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us and make us to hear it, that we may do it. You know, I told you all about the woman the other day that was going all over the nation getting all the famous preachers to pray over her. And little old me, nobody prayed over her, and she got instantaneous healing. Why? Because I finally made her to see it was the gospel. It wasn't the man. It was the gospel. You believe the gospel? Believe the gospel and you'll get healed.
Amen. Amen.
It's a matter of believing the gospel. It ain't the man. So it's not going everywhere finding somebody that's a great preacher or whatever. It ain't none of that. It says, the word is very nigh unto thee. It's in your mouth. And the salvation we're talking about is not very far. It's in your mouth.
It's as close as Calvary.
It's as close as your mouth. And it's in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. That's how far away the power is to be able to obey so that you can come under God's blessings. What does he say? It's not way over there. It's not way up there. It's in your mouth. Huh? No, this is Deuteronomy 30. And this is Deuteronomy 30 and 14.
This is seeing the end from the beginning.
That's right. It says, see, I set before you this day life and good, death and evil. What's he talking about? You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. You agree with God, you'll be blessed. First of all, you'll please God. If they would have agreed with God in the midst of their tribulation, He would have been pleased with them. And they would have overcome their enemies. Well, that's the important thing about speaking what's right, is because it pleases God. If He's pleased with you, He'll give you grace. What's grace do? Cause you to overcome. See? He's telling you how to be able to do it. He said it's in your mouth. The ability to be able to do it is in your mouth. Okay? It's not very far. Why is it that so many people get their healing or get their deliverance or get whatever stolen from them? It's because they start out in the Spirit, they accept it, but when they see something contrary, like a symptom, they accept that instead of the salvation, instead of what God said. See? And the devil will steal from you. The Bible says in Psalm 107 and verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, if we're redeemed, if we've been bought out of this curse, out of this trouble, then we've got to say that. Nothing else. That's what we've got to proclaim. You read some of David's writings, like for instance, Psalm 23. Look at his confession. He had a confession that I'm sure looked maybe ludicrous to some people. You know? He had a confession. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He made several confessions in that little psalm that was just probably looked ludicrous. I won't want. I won't desire. I won't need. You know?
Well, I'm in the valley of death, you know?
Yeah.
There was a little girl was learning that as a psalm to learn, and she said, the Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was me.
That's good.
So now I have a picture of a sheep and under a tree in the green pastures, and I've put on that, the Lord's my shepherd, that's all I want.
And that's right. If He's your shepherd, you shall not want. Yeah. If you're letting Him guide you, if you're abiding in His hiding place, you won't want. He will meet your desires. Yeah. He'll meet your needs, huh?
He'll prepare a table for you in the midst of your foes.
You know, this to me is, I know I've shared this with you before, something similar to this, but look at Hebrews 13 and 15. Why aren't sometimes our prayers answered? I'll give you one of the major reasons. The major reasons our prayer are not answered sometimes. Okay? You ever heard of the heavens being like brass? It's like your prayers aren't getting through. You ever heard people talk like that? You know, there's a reason why they don't get through. A very good reason. We're priests of God. We're priests of God. In verse 15, Hebrews 13 and 15, it says, through him let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of the lips which makes confession to his name. What is the name of the Lord? Let me tell you what the name of the Lord is. It's the Word. That is the name of the Lord. It's nature. He was the Word made flesh. The Word. That's the nature of Jesus. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, look, you've seen this Word. You've seen Jesus. You've seen the Father. This is his. If you make confession unto his name, you can only do one thing. You can only confess the Word. Okay? This is the sacrifice that a priest is supposed to make. Continually, he says. That is the fruit of the lips which makes confession, and that's the word homologeo, to speak the same as. Speak the same as the Word. That's the high. And you know, hey, look, you're not getting through to the Father if you're not agreeing with the Word. If you ask anything according to the Word, he hears you, right? Okay. And suppose you ask something that's according to the Word, but then you turn around and confess just the opposite. What did Jesus say? He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Because why? He is the high priest of our confession. We're just priests. He's the high priest. We bring our offering to him. He goes into the Holy of Holies. Okay? That's what Hebrews says, all through the book of Hebrews. You know, go back to Hebrews 3 and 1. He's called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Okay? Go to 4 and 14. I mean, all through the book of Hebrews, this is a theme that goes all through it. It says, having then a high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Okay? Look at chapter 8 and verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. What is he to offer? Well, here's an example. 10 and 21. Having a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Holding fast the confession. And back over to where we were in Hebrews 13. Hey, why don't our prayers get through sometimes? Because the high priest has got to appear before the Father for us in the Holy of Holies. And you ain't putting nothing in his hand if you're not confessing, which is speak the same as the Word. Don't pray one thing and confess in the rest of your day something else. What you've done is you've effectively stopped Jesus from speaking to you, of you, to the Father. See? Pray it. When you pray, believe you have received. And what did he say in the same verse just before? Speak to the mountain. Believe you have received and speak accordingly. Hey, God can't fail. He can do anything but fail. He can't fail.
Or lie.
Yeah, he can't make a rock too big, he can't pick up, yeah. All that stuff, okay? But at any rate, he won't fail. If we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, what does it say? Salvation is there. Yeah. He won't fail us. And as our high priest, we've got to give him something to appear before the Father for. And it's got to be a confession to His name. It's got to be confessing what the Word of God says. God, the Father hears the Word of God. No word from God shall be void of power, the Scripture says.
So in fact, what you're saying, that person had a kidney condition, and they prayed and believed in faith, but they said, well, just in case I'm going to take the medication the doctor prescribed. What you're saying, in effect, that would cancel out.
Well, they're not. First of all, they're probably not believing the gospel, because the gospel is the fact that Jesus healed you. 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes you were healed. That's the gospel. Okay? Then their confession is not in the gospel that Jesus has already healed me. It's that I'm still sick, so I got to go find something to heal me. Jesus wants to heal me through this method or that method. No, Jesus already chose the method. The method was the cross. The method was the stripes. Okay? That's the method. All these other methods, that's men's methods. That's not God's method. That is not. Because that's men's works. If you believe the gospel, you cease from your works and enter into His rest. Anything that you ask from God, if you don't cease from your works and enter into His rest, you haven't believed the gospel. And it won't work. Well, the most powerful thing you're going to be able to do, you know, is to confess what you have asked God for. When you ask God for it, believe you have received and confess it. Confession is made unto salvation. That is the most powerful thing you can do. But we forget that so quick. We've got to be reminded of that more than anything else is to watch your tongue. It's something that it's because it's natural to slip back into speaking the things that are. It's not natural to speak the things that are not, but yet that is supernatural. That is where power comes from. Power is when Jesus spoke to the fig tree and He said, "No man eat fruit of thee forever." Well, they looked at the fig tree and the fig tree looked perfectly normal. They walked on their way to Bethany, come back by the next day, and they said, "Whoa, look at this fig tree, withered from the roots. The fig tree you cursed, Lord." Yeah.
Why did He do that? Why did He curse
that? Well, I guess there's some prophetic reasons,
yeah.
But more than that, I think He was showing them the power of the spoken word, you know. I mean, He would have looked stupid if the fig tree hadn't withered, wouldn't it? You know? He stepped out in faith. He had to believe it or he wouldn't have said it, you know. He believed it and he spoke it, you know. Yeah.
Because wasn't it bearing fruit out of season or something, or not bearing fruit?
The fruit wasn't there when he wanted it, I guess. You know?
Well, the fig tree was edible, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Singular or plural?
Yeah.
Well, I need some of that power tonight.
The Bible says in Romans 6, to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. In the same chapter, it says, you were made free from sin. What is sin? Sin is the problem. Right? Sin, the nature of whatever would make you want to go contrary, that's the problem. That's the whole problem. And yet, He tells you to reckon it already done. This is God's method. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. You're made free from sin. No longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Right? Okay? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made you free. Made me free from the law of sin and death. It's done. It's already done. That's the gospel. This is the gospel. The other stuff that they've been telling you is not the gospel. Looking forward is not the gospel. Looking back is the gospel. It's been done. All of your works to try to fulfill God's will, that is not the gospel. You did not believe the gospel. Ceasing from your works and entering into rest because the Word says it's already done, that's believing the gospel. And confessing the gospel is to agree with that. That's powerful. That's powerful.
My words and I really get weary, you know. I feel weary just trying to, you know, oil down to the castor oil on me, you know. wrapped myself in this red wrap. She's got a doing all kinds of stuff. She's got a whole room full of exercise stuff, so I just...
Hey, Tammy, the Lord can change your metabolism in a moment. And He's only going to do that when you confess and believe and agree with the gospel. You know? Jesus said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe them, you shall receive. You know? Hey, that didn't mean I had to do it. You know, if I had to do it, that wouldn't be nothing supernatural about that. You know? The Lord wants to do miracles for us. You know? But He wants us to agree with the gospel. We've been delivered from the curse. You're delivered from the curse. You know, you're delivered from the curse, and you can profess it. You can confess it. You know?
It's kind of like name it and claim it in a way.
Well, what did He say in Mark 11:23? You know, there's a lot of criticism about that, but there is a certain truth to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Isn't there a certain truth to it? Look, you say, you know, we see some things wrong with the materialistic prosperity preachers, right? We see that, you know, they don't understand the crucified life. They don't understand denying self, and they really live after the lust of their flesh. I'll tell you, you can learn something from them. They teach their people. They teach their people, you confess the word. They do it to the extent that they look silly. Well, that's what you're supposed to look like. You know, you look silly when you do that. But you get results. You know, you get results. So accept the good and leave the bad, but that's what it says. It says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, but shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. If you believe what you say cometh to pass, you shall have it. Jesus said it. Yeah. Have what you say. And you're gonna receive what you say, whether it's good or bad. I mean, because it's still true in the negative. If you believe what you say, it'll come to pass. Let me tell you something. That's negative too. If you believe what you say, it'll come to pass. You speak negative things and watch and see if it don't come to pass. I guarantee it'll come to pass. The Lord taught me that lesson. You say negative things, it's easy to slip into a negative mind, you know, and start saying negative things. Yeah, you watch, you see it miraculously will come to pass.
It's like speaking evil, isn't it?
Huh?
That's just like the Bible says, it's like speaking evil.
You're bringing your own curse upon your own head, you know. Yeah. It'll come to pass.
And it doesn't happen overnight, you know. You have to set up, you know.
I think it does happen overnight.
Not that we do,
sometimes.
I mean, but being perfected or being overcomers,
It don't happen overnight. Let me tell you what happened to me the other day.
It's already been done.
Let me tell you what happened the other day. Remember I sent Corbin over there with that throttle spring?
Yeah.
And he come back without it. I said, where's the old throttle spring? Because I was thinking, well, we'll stick it back in and run it until we can get one. Yeah? So I left it at Pete. I said, man, you shouldn't have left that over there at Pete. I said, that thing was going to be lost.
It is.
Know?
It got lost.
And I thought when I said it, sure enough, next day, lost it. I don't know what happened to it. You brought it in the house somewhere. You know? Yeah, I put it in a certain place. It's gone. I don't know what happened to it. It was miraculous. You know, that thing was lost. You know? Well, that's true.
I had a reproduction cast iron Harley Davidson with a sidecar. I picked it up, put it underneath this reproduction toy, set it down on top of it, said, nobody will touch it there. Mom said, you shouldn't have put it there. You shouldn't have put it there. I think you moved it. It's gone. You know, you put it someplace like, I'm going to put it behind that flower box. I know nobody's going to move it.
Yeah.
She picks the flower pot up and said, springs don't need to be there. But we found one. I praise the Lord, remember? I just told him, I said, there's no way I can find one. My card stuff is gone.
Mm.
And I said, thank you, Jesus. I just said, thank you, Jesus. Went right to a box, pulled it up, right length, everything. It wasn't even a carburetor box. It just, totally the perfect one we needed. We still hadn't found the old one.
Well, it's just lost. I mean, I confessed it lost and it got lost.
I asked the Lord to give me wisdom to talk to talk to Sarah. The next day when I talked to Sarah, I was given wisdom because I certainly would not have said the things that were coming out of my mouth. So it does happen overnight.
That's right. Well, no, I don't mean the gifts that God gives us or the blessings that we ask for. I'm not saying we got to just hold on and stay for years on that. I'm saying knowing the fact to just say, thank you, Jesus. You know, instantly that takes time. Like when I stubbed my toe a long time ago, I wouldn't have just said, thank you, Father. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Eventually it's going to be just the second we say it, you know. Like, you know, now for me, I say, well, I better confess it. You know, like the example with my dog with his eye. Mm-hmm. You know, now I automatically confess the healing in his eye.
Yeah.
And my little dog that used to be blind, that the vet says he needs to have his eye removed, like we foolishly did the other one, Lord gave me another chance of this, you know.
Praise the Lord.
He gave me another chance of that. Dog, does my blind dog get around good? He's not blind anymore. You know, the vet said, come back in, we'll take his other eye out like we did, you know.
Yeah.
I said, we do that, Lord.
He was probably bumping into things at first, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, it was completely messed up and closed up and had to have medicine and it just looked terrible. And I said, nope. Praise the Lord, you know. And Dave, like he said, he had a little tumor growing out of it. You know, just, yeah. I mean, water build up on it. And I'm thinking, oh, man, we got to go back. And he's going to be blind. And we call him Captain Winky and all kinds of names on his stuff. He's doing fine. He's seeing out of that eye. Looks good.
It's like I told my cat to stop limping because she'd been healed and she would walk properly. Because I'd asked the Lord for healing for her, but the cat still kept limping. So I told the cat to stop limping because she'd been healed. Next thing she gets up, walks across the room, not limp.
That's right. The Lord gives us the measure, that we can handle.
Pass it on to the cat because she didn't believe me at the time that she'd been healed, and so I told her to stop limping and get on with it.
Well, we won't be able to stay walking in the gospel if we don't speak it to you. You just will not be able to stand it. You'll end up confessing the things of the world and end up flopping back and forth, you know, trying to obey but not being able to obey because we haven't put works with our faith. You know, faith is not made perfect and complete. So it's important. I mean, even if it looks, even if it's very mechanical at first, like I said, you do a study of Proverbs and see how important it is to watch your tongue. Even if it's very mechanical at first, it doesn't make any difference. God is pleased if we agree with His Word and disagree with circumstances. Yeah. Can't do both, because one's natural and one's supernatural.
That's what double-minded means, huh?
We're supposed to be praying God's kingdom in. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, there ain't but one way you can do that. You got to pray the Bible. You got to speak the Bible. You know? You got to speak the Word. In God's kingdom, there we don't have anything but salvation, right? Well, no problem. All your needs supplied, right? And that's what we're praying God's kingdom in, is by agreeing with the Word, speaking the Word.
That key word "all" keeps popping up, Old and New Testament. Not some of them. Not a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
All our needs. You know, when earlier today, Psalms 103 verse 3 just popped up, you know, when I read it, it says, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, not some of them, not few of them, you know, and just all of them, and we have to think about it, you know, that's just so powerful, those. That verse just kind of just comes out at me all the time. Psalms 103, verse 3. All.
Yep.
I start aching and paining and moaning and groaning. I say, no, all of it's been taken care of, you know. My foot. And, you know.
That's right. We need to confess our ability in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
It goes that word all again.
Mm-hmm.
All.
All over Scripture.
Yeah, all over Scripture. It's all, you know, so good. So many people, that was the big stumbling block when I was talking to my relatives about witnessing to the other relatives that have major diseases, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's saying it's already been taken care of.
so.
You know, God already has.
That's just too good to be true. Right?
Yeah, God has already given us a loaded gun, and next time the intruder comes to the house, you can use it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, next time the devil comes in, get him out of your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just say, oh, I hope the devil doesn't come in. It doesn't matter. He has given you a 357 Magnum, mm-hmm. his word.
Yeah.
Even the John 3:16 Magnum, you know? We have to believe.
Well, I've really, you know, the Lord's given me plenty of chance in my life to prove that this is true. You know, I mean, we've had trial after trial after trial. I don't think I'm a great sinner, but I've had plenty of chances through sickness or things that came against me to prove it and to see the results from it. You know, even since I've been here over here in Florida, you know,
I've seen
been one thing after another. You know, has happened. And the Lord's given me a time to prove that his salvation will come. It will always come if you believe it and confess it. It will always come. It don't matter what it is. You know.
Dog bites, anything. Eh?
What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Yeah. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven.
Amen.
If we want to turn the devil loose by adding to or taking away from the Word of God and turning the curse loose in our life because we're adding to or taking away from the Word of God, well, that's our fault, you know. We need to learn to speak the word.
Well, that was just for them back then, and that was just for the church in Corinth, you know. Wait a minute, you know, what are you talking about? I hear that all the time. That was for them back then. You know, it's the silliest thing in the world here. You know, hear people say that.
Well, y'all want to pray?